The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Boot computer, list of today's guests, signing in chat room, lining up news articles, checking level, adjusting cam, secure wire connection, restart computer, checking video feed.
With all she's got to do, you'd think Nicole Sandler was a one-woman band. Well, she is, and she's ready for another show. And now, here's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Well, I think we're going to start today with a song because it's just appropriate for the occasion. Please welcome Mangy Fetlocks.
Donald Trump's life isn't going well. He's headed into legal hell. Each day he's getting more upset and bitchy.
Uh-oh.
There's just one thing Donald Trump can do, and he's not busy with a coup, and anger makes him nervous, mad, and twitchy. Toss some burgers at the wall. First toss one, then toss them all. Whip some ketchup-covered french fries at the ceiling. Have a burger-tossing fit like some spoiled little shit. What a juvenile way to vent your feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for recording. Mangy Fetlocks, everybody. Also known as Bruce W. Nelson. He records a song or two, puts them up on YouTube every day, usually topical and timely like that. And I thought it was, worthy of kicking off today's show. Oh, my goodness. You know, yesterday, while I was on the air, there was just an overabundance of breaking news, and that didn't let up. The news kept breaking up until like bedtime. Seriously, the last thing, you know, first it was one thing after another. It was almost like a running joke. David and I would hold up our phones to the other with each breaking news item. So, there was, let's recap, shall we? The day began with, well, Putin, finding out that Putin delivered a speech there in Russia telling his people that, in not so many words, the war's not going very well. And so we're going to have to call up the reserves. So there are 300,000 Russian citizens out there who are in the reserves. And you know what? You're going to have to come in. All of a sudden, all the flights out of Russia are booked. You cannot get a flight out of Russia. People are fleeing, literally, for their lives. After that happened, Joe Biden spoke before the UN General Assembly, called out Putin. We went over a lot of this yesterday, right? So I'm just trying to recap the day in chronological order, right? Then, all right, so as Joe Biden was wrapping up his speech at the UN, everybody turned their attention to New York. The New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, who took to the microphones for the next 45 minutes, laid out her massive fraud charges or lawsuit. Let me be more accurate here, against not only Donald Trump, but the oldest of his three adult children. Now, I'm clarifying adult, because I think the youngest between Donald Jr., Ivanka, and Eric is Eric, and he's 38. Vanky is like 40, and Junior is 40 plus. So they are not babies. They are not children. They may be his spawn, evil as such, but, you know, they are his children, but they are not children. You know, the Republicans have an interesting way of using that word. They call fetuses, in some cases, even zygotes, you know, a fetus at 6 weeks is not even a fetus. I heard a clip today of Stacey Abrams saying, there is no heartbeat at 6 weeks. You're right. There is no heartbeat. It's maybe an electrical pulse, but there's certainly no heartbeat. It's not even a formed fetus at 6 weeks. But they call them unborn children. No, they're not children. They are growing organisms. They're growing cells inside a human's body, and they cannot live outside of that body. So they are far from children until they're born. And even then, they're not children. They're babies. They're infants, and then they're toddlers, and then they become children. Right? There is adult children, but you can't call them children. Oh, somebody, one of those crazy right-wingers, went, they're bringing the kids into this. They're not kids. They're fully formed adults. So anyway, sorry, I digress. I got off the subject there. But the bottom line is, poor Donnie, Donald and his spawn. Now, Letitia James, as Attorney General, cannot bring criminal charges. And I still don't quite understand that. The next time I have Lisa Graves or some other equally qualified legal mind who can answer my questions, I will ask that. I don't understand why Letitia James can only bring a civil suit, a lawsuit. But this is a $250 million lawsuit brought against them. And for 45 minutes, she laid out all of the crooked things that these people did. That happened yesterday, right? And then as the day went on, more stuff happened. But let's now fast forward. So the show is on, I'm on the East Coast, so it's from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. When I got off the air, I guess it was a while after I got off the air before we heard any more news, but about 9 o'clock last night, shortly before nine, came more breaking news. And you remember, we were a little worried about the appeals process for the Justice Department when this judge that Trump appointed to the I don't even know what court it is down here, the court in this area, right? Eileen Cannon, right? Trump's handpicked, lifetime appointed judge, who is the one who said, yeah, we'll have a special master. And, I'm going to make sure that the everything stops. The Justice Department cannot examine any of the files until the special master has his way with it, right? So she theoretically put it off until November 30th, because that was the original deadline that she came up with. Well, the special master that was chosen, that both sides agreed to, each side put up two candidates. And there's this guy, this Judge Deary, who the Justice Department said, we're fine with Deary. He can be the special master. Well, apparently they knew Deary. And he know that he is a judge's judge. He's a by-the-book judge. He may, Trump's people thought he'd be on their side because he had some problems with the Carter Page FISA warrant or something. But maybe there was something hinky in it, right? But Judge Deary let it be known that he wasn't playing here. He was not playing with this. He was not playing around. And so he immediately, he had his first meeting with both sides yesterday, right? Well, last night we find, and so we had known all along that the Justice Department was going to appeal Judge Cannon's ruling. And the certain part of it, what they asked for was a stay on these 100 documents that had classified markings on them, that Judge Cannon said, no, even those, nobody, the Justice Department, the FBI, nobody can look at them until the special master goes through everything and decides what's what. Well, the 11th District Court of Appeals, we were worried because there's 6 judges who sit on that court. I'm sorry, there's 11 judges who sit on that court. 6 of them were Trump appointees. So we're thinking, oh, great, there's going to be more Judge Cannons on this 11th Circuit Court. that turned out not to be the case. A panel of three judges heard this and immediately last night ruled, and the ruling, this came down very fast. And basically they said, oh, no, 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 no. They said it is self-evident that the public has an interest in knowing whether Trump's storage of classified records damaged national security. So the Justice Department won. They reversed Judge Eileen Cannon and her decision barring the DOJ from examining these 100 documents. And so now they can move forward with this criminal investigation. Well, today, Judge Cannon backtracked. And she's like, oh, so these 100 documents are excluded from the special master's review. Just like, sure, no problem. This is what I had in mind all along. Not really. But so that's what happened, right? But wait, there's more. It gets even better. So the appeals ruling was against Trump, was for the Justice Department. We thought, okay, that's the end of a long day of breaking news. But two more things happened. The former guy goes on the Fox Not News channel to appear on Hannity. And we got to learn a little bit more about his thought process, if you can call it that. So Sean Hannity appeared. I didn't hear the whole thing. I heard a clip, just to be honest with you, because I always am. So I heard the clip that Hannity asked him about, well, did you declassify these documents or did you not?
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it. Because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it.
To Mar-a-Lago?
And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be.
Even by just thinking about it, you can declassify it. You know what the technical term for that is?
Bullshit.
Thank you, a disembodied announcer voice. It is
bullshit.
He makes shit up every day. So that provided a lot of fodder for many jokes over the, you know, previous 12 to 16 hours or so. But wait, there's more. Because even later last night, I got to hold up my phone to David and say, look, and the headline read that Ginny Thomas, wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, has agreed to be interviewed by the January 6th committee. Now, in a separate announcement, we learned that the committee has officially announced the next public hearing will be held Wednesday, beginning at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I know what we're doing Wednesday next week. But she's not going to testify there. She'll testify in a, you know, one of those depositions that maybe eventually we'll see video of. I don't trust the woman. I don't believe that she wouldn't lie because she's already shown not to have any integrity. So anyway, but so that's happening. Just letting you know that the news was just coming and coming and going and continuing. And it continues today. Honestly, let me share this with you because this just crossed my desk not even an hour ago. It's from the Washington Post. And the special master is taking his job very seriously. The headline reads, Deary asks Trump lawyers whether they believe the FBI lied about seized documents. And then the subheadline is, order by Mar-a-Lago special master is the first time Donald Trump's attorneys have been asked to confirm or deny his claims in court. You see, the former guy is so used to being able to spew bullshit and not be challenged on it that he just does it. And the other minions who follow him are doing the same. Well, hopefully this will start a new trend of asking follow-up questions. When somebody says something, say, really? Tell me more. Explain how that works, please. So let me, in a ruling this afternoon, the special master, U.S. District Judge Raymond Deary, told Trump's legal team to state by September 30th That's 8 days away. That's what, a week from tomorrow. Whether they believe that any of those seized items were incorrectly described in the Justice Department's 11-page inventory list, which said some of those documents were highly classified. Deary also told them to say whether they're claiming that any items on the inventory list were not in fact taken from the premises. You see, Trump has said on social media and in television interviews that the FBI planted items when they searched his Mar-a-Lago residence and private club on August 8th. Remember that? He was saying they planted something. How do we know they didn't plant something? Well, first of all, the former guy was watching a closed circuit feed of it from wherever he was in Bedminster or whatever. So he knows, but this is what he does. He lies about everything. So he just threw it out there. But Deary is not taking it from him. Trump also claimed to have declassified those documents that were found. Whoops. All right. Hold on. I'm going to get this call in just a moment. Hold on, caller. I'll get to you in a second. So Trump has said that he declassified them. Anything that was marked classified and censored, he declassified. But his lawyers have not made those assertions in court, but they've said that they've not reviewed the seized materials and are unable to confirm whether the government's inventory list is accurate or not. Well, Deary's order is demanding that Trump's lawyers back up his claims. Quote, Deary wrote, "This submission shall be plaintiff's final opportunity to raise any factual dispute as to the completeness and accuracy of the detailed property inventory." And then at a hearing, the hearing on Tuesday, the first and only hearing they've had so far, Deary pressed Trump's lawyers to take a position on whether the classified documents were, as Trump has said, declassified, but they refused to because they're not going to swear to his lies because they don't want to wind up in the same place where Trump will hopefully wind up. So, gotta love this Deary guy. And you know, Trump is going, he wants the head of whoever suggested Deary would be a good special master. Yeah. So anyway, good stuff is happening. Finally, things are happening, right? There is progress being made. So now I want to tell you who's on the phone. In fact, let me answer this call and say, hi, caller. Is this Bobby?
That would be Bobby.
That would be Bobby
from
North Carolina. I met Bobby earlier today on the phone. So here's what happens. I'm working in the studio, as I do most days, you know, getting ready for the show. I do a lot of show prep. It may not seem that way, but I do. Right. So occasionally somebody will call. You know, I'm in the studio. Everything is up and running. And sometimes I'll hear the phone and I'll pick it up. So I did today. But so what happened was I was actually trying to call somebody. One of our regulars in the chat room is in the hospital. I was trying to call Joy. And I saw that somebody else was calling in and I couldn't take the call because I was trying to get through to Joy in the hospital, which I wasn't able to, by the way, but I know she's there. All right. So once I realized I wasn't going to get Joy on the phone, I thought, so who was this who was calling? So I called back and Bobby answered, right? Bobby, you answered the phone and you're saying, okay, who
That's
is this?
Me.
Why are you calling me? And I said, well, you called me. And you said, no, I didn't. And what we discovered is this is something that happens, right? It happens to me a few times a week where I'll get a call from somebody and it's some scam. It's some robocaller or it's a phishing call or it's a spam call, but they clone phone numbers. So it'll come up on the caller ID with somebody's name and phone number. And I've called back before, and the person who answers has no idea who I am or why I'm calling them, and they never called me. And I'm like, okay, so this is a thing. So I reached Bobby today, and it turns out he didn't call me, so we realized that this is one of those situations. And Bobby, you started telling me that if you report those numbers to who, your state attorney general, you can actually get reward money for turning people in? Is that what you were telling me?
Yep, that's it. Yes. There's a, well, I know in North Carolina, there's a situation. So I don't know if it's, you know, cross state. We don't know how, what death sentence is doing down there.
No,
so there's no telling. But
we
at least
know.
Try it. Check it out. Because I get like, I have like 20 numbers from one company.
Okay.
And every time I get one, I just send it in and say, here's another one. Here's another one. But my anger is the fact that do something about it. You know, it's great you can put some money in my pocket, but damn it, stop them from calling me on Sunday morning at 8:30.
Oh, God. It's frustrating. But anyway, we started talking because, as you can tell, Bobby is a friendly guy, and he's, you know, loquacious. We're talking about scam calls, and somehow we got onto the subject of work, and I find out you're a musician, and you said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I do a radio show. And he's like, oh, I like radio. I'll listen. And I said, well, you know, my show, I hear the accent. I know you're in North Carolina. And I said, well, my show is news and political talk. Where are you on the political spectrum? And Bobby told me that he listens to Stephanie Miller and Randy Rhodes, watches Free Speech TV. And I'm like, oh, then, okay, you should listen to my show. You'd probably like it. And we're talking and talking. He's like, where can I find you? And he said, I watch Free Speech TV. I said, I'm not on Free Speech TV. But then he mentioned Randy. And I told my story of how Randy and I worked together for a long time and how, you know, working with her was kind of stressful. And we tried, you know, when she built this studio, we did it together and we were working together and it just wasn't working. We clashed like opposite ends of, or same ends of the magnet. Anyway, so I told the story about how one day I just felt really sick. I thought I was having a heart attack, and I'm driving home thinking, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. And we wound up going to the hospital, and it turns out I wasn't having a heart attack, but the chest x-ray showed a mass on my lung. So my running joke, not joke, was that Randy Rhodes almost killed me, but in almost killing me, she saved my life. And you cracked up. You thought that was very funny. And then I explained that Randy and I used to work together, not only there, but when she had her show on Premier, I was her main fill-in person. And you said, what's your name? I said, Nicole Sandler. And your reaction made my day. So Bobby is a listener. So can you imagine, you're sitting at home, you get a phone call from somebody who says, you called me, and you said, no, I didn't. And then we wind up talking. It turns out somebody you listen to on the radio all the time.
And I had to stop because I knew she had to, you know, prep for a show.
But we talked for a while. You're making your wife dinner tonight, and you told her you're gonna tell her we have a story now.
Oh, and she was rolling.
Oh, yeah. You did tell her.
We're gonna have a tell her what?
No, you told. So you told her already. You told her about our conversation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, as soon as I got the phone with you, I went in the house and started from top to bottom on how it started. But I just want to say, Nicole, as a longtime fan, I've been listening to you since I left Miami.
Wow.
Which was, because I follow the broadcast here and dealing with the bull that's going on. In fact, when I left Florida last time, I called back to my friends and told them, because some of them might have had, you know, some legal issues in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I said, look, I forget who it was, but somebody was paying the fines for people that had outstanding fines. It was Bill Gates or one of the billionaires that was paying people's fines.
Right.
So that they could register to vote. And I sent back to my people, I said, send this all over. And several people were like, thank you, because they didn't know about it. But by listening to Free Speech TV, I learned about it. Uh-huh. You learn things here by accident.
Right.
If you're listening.
Yeah, we often give out good information.
You think? Oh, God, how can
Because you know what?
There
are,
no.
Those of us on this end of the spectrum actually believe in telling the truth and helping people. So it's a different thing. But but again, you know what? When I'm talking to somebody in North Carolina, I can't take for granted that they're, you know, that they're normal folk. I mean, I hear the accent and I automatically think, oh, this is a Trumper. And so when you said you watch Free Speech, I'm like, oh, cool. Okay. We were connected magically. I guess it was meant to be.
Oh, and as I told you, I listened to The Other Side just to make sure that my stomach stays upset.
Yeah.
You say you can't listen to it, but your husband does.
Right, sometimes. He will for comic relief. But are you listening to there today? I mean, what are they saying about Trump's legal problems?
Nothing.
Of course.
Oh, no, actually they are. It's a witch hunt.
Oh.
Let's see, they had Don Jr.'s comments about it's a witch hunt. Somebody else basically saying that it's, you know, not a valid issue. So I'm sorry, if I go to the corner store and steal a pack of gum,
mm-hmm.
and then they catch me and I say, well, you know, I deem this gum to be, you know, my property, you know, I've been having this gun forever,
mm-hmm.
so I figured, you know, it's my property. I can take it. No, it belongs to the store.
Right.
The store paid for it. It's the store's. You can buy it. Hint, hint.
Right. Yeah, you can pay for it.
In other words, somebody we know who's orange from top to bottom and it's built like the snowman, abominable snowman, says that everything that was there is, it's mine. It's
right,
mine.
Right. Well, so, did you hear the story that I just read while you were on hold? The special master is saying put up or shut up. You're saying that stuff was put planted? Prove it. You're saying he declassified anything? Prove it. If not, let's move on. So this Raymond Deary guy is not standing for any nonsense.
And that's the problem, Nicole, because, again, on Fox News, on other news networks, they aren't saying that.
Right.
They're saying that he, you know, had the right to have those items.
Please.
And, you know, he said he returned them. How do we know he didn't return them? Because we found them in his house.
Right. Yeah. See, I don't know how you can watch that. But I guess you have to because you're surrounded by that. Now, you're in the Raleigh area, which is not exactly a progressive outpost. But you
talk about it. Yes.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You talk with people who are on the other side. And do they listen to you?
They listen to me. And they say that I'm really not understanding what's going on. So then I'd say, okay, wait a minute. You have children. If your child lied to you once,
mm-hmm.
would you be upset? Well, my children aren't supposed to lie. Okay, if they lied to you five times about the same issue, would you be upset? I'd be crazy. Okay, the dude that you want and that you like has lied to the nation thousands of times.
That's right.
He lied over the last 24 hours a good 5-6 times.
Oh, easily. Well, did you know he could declassify anything even by just thinking it?
Oh, wait a minute. Look, I'm declassifying my home mortgage. I have that now. It's mine. I don't have to pay anymore.
It's amazing. Bobby, I'm so glad we were somehow cosmically connected today. It's nice to meet you. I'm glad to know you're listening and that we have, you know, allies in North Carolina because we need you.
Sister. Yeah.
And the next time you're in Florida, we'll, you know, say hi.
Oh, I'm going to get with you in Florida, but more importantly, I'm now your online stalker. So get ready. I'm going to be calling the show.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing from you again. I got to run because we got Howie Klein on the way, and I don't want to be late for Howie.
Exactly, yes. Love you. Love you, Nicole. Thank you so much for what you do.
Love you too, Bobby. And some things are just meant to be. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
Bye. All right. That's our new friend, Bobby. See, sometimes, you know, I know there's a lot of people who they don't answer a call from somebody they don't know. Well, you know, on the radio, I do all the time. But even on my cell phone, I do answer calls because I give out my number to people that maybe want a pet portrait or something. I never know who's calling. So I do answer it, and I get an inordinate number of those scam calls, right? I get scam emails, I get scam calls, and I hang up on them and I block the number. What made me call him back today? I don't know. I had a moment of downtime. Again, I was trying to reach Joy in the hospital and couldn't get through. And I thought, let me see who this was who was calling. And it was just, it was one of those things that actually turned out to be just a wonderful call. His reaction when I said my name just honestly made my week because, you know, this is a not very rewarding job sometimes. Doing radio, you know, you're not talking to an audience. I love having the chat room here because at least I get some feedback. But usually you're just talking into the ether. Now, the old radio trick that I learned a million years ago when I was first starting was when you're doing radio, you're talking to one person. And it's usually one person in their car. Now, it's a different world because this is the internet. And I started doing radio a million years ago. But it's the same premise. Radio, I've always been drawn to because it's a very personal medium. It's one-to-one. But you don't get that feedback. And there are many times I've gotten off the air, turned off the mic, put down my headphones, and just felt like, okay, did anybody hear a word I said? So when you reach someone randomly like that, and he's like, oh my God, I've been listening to you for... It's just a nice feeling. So occasionally we all need that boost. And so I got it like that. It was really cool. Right? All right. Okay. So it is Thursday. It's Howie Klein Day. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but I often don't when I call Howie. So, you know, we'll see what's on tap for today. Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies? And for whoever said that the Dirty Debbie is a non-alcoholic drink, I say... Whoops, I hit the wrong one. It was supposed to be bullshit, but I'm on a different bank of sound here because I have to play Howie's intro. So never mind. let's get Howie, shall we?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Hello. Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good, too. I just had a chilling little experience where a member of Congress, who I don't want to mention if you don't mind, just was screaming at me. And it was like, well, this is someone who I've known for a really, really, really long time. And when she was first running, nobody backed her but Blue America. I mean, there was no Justice Democrats or any of those more recent PACs. It was just us at the time. And the establishment was against her. She was an open seat. The establishment was against her. They had somebody else in mind. And we backed her, and we backed her as strongly as we possibly could. And she won, and we've been friends with her ever since. And I found out she was backing Hakeem Jeffries very loudly, backing him. So I called up to ask her why. Maybe there's something I'm missing. And she just reacted with such anger. I mean, just screaming at me and telling me it's none of my business. And, it's a done deal and I should butt out.
Oh, my.
And I was thinking, wow. I mean, was it none of my business when it was a done deal that she had no chance to win? I mean, she had no chance. I'm not saying that Blue America, you know, made a difference, but we made part of the difference.
Yeah.
And she's been very grateful over the years, but all of a sudden, whoa, did she lash out in fury.
Wow. That's...
I mean, she wound up hanging up on me, so I don't know why, you know, she was so angry.
Wow. You know, I know when you picked up, I heard something in your voice. I'm like, oh, Howie sounds kind of down. Wow.
Yeah, well, it just happened. I mean, it literally just happened a couple of minutes ago.
Whoa. So that is disconcerting. You know, you're in a weird position because you've been a lot in a lot of these corners, right? And I think sometimes people get in Congress and then they start thinking that they've got to, you know, play the game. And,
yep.
You know, you're an upstart. You're an insurgent, not in terms of like January 6th, but you challenge authority. And some of them, I think, are frightened by that. And so if she's feeling insecure and she's backing Hakeem Jeffries, I guess maybe she feels threatened by what you bring. Wow. But that's upsetting and disappointing.
It is. It's, you know, he's horrible. He's really as bad as they come. He's, you know, it's like he didn't just pop up on the, you know, on the radar like, you know, 2 weeks ago. He's
right.
Been a member of the New York State Legislature for a long time. Everyone knows what he is. He's 50% owned by AIPAC and 50% owned by Wall Street. And there's nothing else. That makes 100%. There's nothing else there. And they're going to make him the head of the Democratic Party in the House. And it's unimaginable to me. And when you dare to say anything, I mean, this didn't come up between her and I, but with other people I've talked to, you dare say anything and they get angry because he's going to be the first black speaker.
Right.
And, oh, dear. Well, you know, how about Barbara Lee? How about her being the first black speaker?
Right.
She'd not only be the first black speaker, she'd be the first woman black speaker. She'd not only be that, she'd also be actually really, really good.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes,
no, but they want someone who's owned by Wall Street and AIPAC. So that's what they're going to do. And, you know, almost everyone, not everyone, but almost everyone I know in Congress is telling me basically butt out.
But this makes it all the more curious and interesting to me that what's his name? Adam Schiff is challenging Hakeem Jeffries rather than because he seems to be a good team player. But the fact that he's not just going along with the gang and saying, well, let's talk about this. That gives me a lot more faith in Adam Schiff, actually.
And me too. And I dropped him a line and told him how I felt about it. And Adam usually gets back to me pretty fast and hasn't gotten back to me about this. And I'm thinking maybe he thinks like if I got involved, it would be worse for him.
Right.
I don't know. But but I do want to talk to Adam about it. I mean, he's no dummy. He knows how to count votes. And everyone is telling me that she's got that what she told me, that Hakeem's got it all wrapped up and there's no battle there.
Wow. You know,
so
and I
don't know what Adam is doing.
Yeah.
The conventional wisdom is that he's going to be running for Dianne Feinstein's seat.
Right.
Either when she leaves.
Okay, but I want Katie Porter in that seat.
Say that again?
I said I want Katie Porter in that seat.
Sure. Well, that's what all progressives would want, mm-hmm. would be to have Katie in that seat rather than Adam.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't know if Adam has more money than anybody else in Congress, but if he doesn't, it's close.
Yeah, right.
Adam has a huge amount of money, and he also has gigantic name recognition, and he has the capacity to raise money like few members of Congress.
Right.
So that's a big deal. Katie
yep.
can do pretty well also, but not as good as he can when it comes to money. Katie's much more progressive than Adam is, but Adam has been getting more progressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the last few years, he's really changed drastically.
Good. Well, he also, his profile was raised enormously by being the lead in the first impeachment. That's how, you know, Val Demings, the only reason she's even the nominee here to go up against Marco Rubio in Florida is because her profile was raised by that first impeachment. In fact, I read today
before you go on, let me just say something.
Yes.
The only reason she was put on the committee was that she would so that she could raise her profile. She had no business being on that committee. She had nothing
right.
to offer.
I agree.
And they put her on Pelosi put her on the committee to raise her profile so she could run for state office.
Okay.
That was it. Other reason.
Okay, well, good.
And Adam, on the other hand, is an accomplished attorney,
right?
And a prosecutor who has lots and lots of experience and knew how to do this kind of thing. She's, you know, she kind of knew how to read what her staff wrote for her.
Yeah.
She didn't even do that very well.
Right. Right. But it did raise her profile, and she is now in a position, I hope, to beat Marco Rubio, because he needs to be beaten.
He's in a position to lose as badly as she would have lost otherwise.
Right. Exactly. But apparently she's also raising tons of money. So I was reading something today, Howie, that Joe Biden is coming down to Florida. He's going to campaign with Charlie Crist. I think that's smart of Crist. Val Demings will not be part of that. But they also pointed out that she's raised more money than probably any other senatorial candidate. So she's sitting in pretty good shape. But that she's, you know, staying away from Biden, I think, is kind of shitty.
Yep. Well, she's kind of shitty. But she's, you know, I don't know what her game is, although I think it's that she is so delusional that she thinks she may beat Rubio. But I know what Crist's game is because he told a friend of mine, and that is that his plan is to run against Rick Scott in 2 years.
Oh God!
He knows he can't beat.
So
DeSantis.
He's already figured he's going to lose the gubernatorial race, and then he'll run against. But DeSantis really screwed himself with this whole, you know, sending the Venezuelans from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. I think he stepped in it this time. Do you have a different impression?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it stepped in it with who? Like, he's trying to appeal to the MAGA crowd. So they love what he's doing. They think it's the greatest thing. So who doesn't like it? Democrats who hate him anyway, Venezuelans, but even in Florida, which has more Venezuelans than any place else in the country, there are only 200,000 Venezuelans, and that includes the children who can't vote and other people who are not citizens yet. So he's going to piss off Venezuelans in Florida, and it could.
And there's a lot of them.
There are 200,000, but they can't all vote.
Okay.
And you know, so theoretically it could hurt, you know, Mario Diaz-Balart because he's got so many in his district.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it's basically they're all in his district and in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district.
Yes.
So, I don't know. You know, I think he knew what he was doing, and he decided to take a gamble that it doesn't really matter that much. There aren't that many voting Venezuelans.
Yeah, but that's true. But I think people, look, the fact that he spent, first of all, the flights that went, these charter planes, they did the math. He paid over almost $13,000 for each of these 48 refugees that he sent up there, where Leonard Pitt's column in the Miami Herald spells this out. A ticket from San Antonio to Martha's Vineyard was like $329. He spent $12,000 plus on each one of them of our taxpayer dollars to move them from Texas to Venezuela, from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. They had nothing to do with Florida. They weren't in Florida. And I don't know if you heard his word salad explanation. He said, yeah, but what we found out is that it seems like 30 to 40% of those migrants in Texas eventually want to come to Florida. So we have people in there who are figuring out where they're going to go, and that's who we're shipping off. That is just some grade A bullshit. And
total bullshit.
Total bullshit.
And, by the way, let me mention that after, in terms of population of Venezuelans, after Florida, the second state with the most Venezuelans is Texas.
Texas, right. Well, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, yes, some of them may have wanted to go and reunite with relatives in Florida. It's possible. But, you know, guess what? Massachusetts also has a lot of Venezuelan refugees.
Yeah.
But Texas has quite a lot. And they headed for Texas. And presumably most of them planned to stay in Texas, where there are very, very big Venezuelan communities.
Right. But the other part of it, where I think Ronnie got a little ahead of his skis, or however the saying goes.
You call him Rhonda.
I said Ronnie, but, you know, Rhonda.
I know. Can't you call him Rhonda?
Oh, Rhonda. Rhonda Santis. Yeah, Rhonda. So Rhonda got ahead of herself. And, she, you know, they printed up these brochures that were lies. They lied to these people. They misled them. They promised them all kinds of stuff, and then they dumped them in the middle of nowhere where nobody knew where they were coming. I think it's criminal, and hopefully that there will be some charges that stick.
Yeah, I don't know how much they'll stick. There will be charges. I'm certain there were two investigations already. One is a class action suit by the refugees.
Right.
And the other one is a, I think it's a sheriff in Texas who's
yep.
bringing charges.
Yeah. Yep.
On Blue America, on Down with Tyranny, I should say, we actually ran a picture of the, you know, a very legible picture of the brochure. So you could see what he was promising them in English and Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
And very much tried to make it look like an official government document.
That's right.
Which, of course, it wasn't.
No. No. So, you know, on top of it, it does sound like kidnapping. They were coerced. They were lied to. They were lured with promises that there was never any intention of them fulfilling. I think they've got a pretty good case for kidnapping or human trafficking or something. So, you know,
well,
even Republicans
here. Remember, he'll be able to go judge shopping the same way that Trump did.
Yeah,
although
but now
Trump. The Trump judge shopping seems to be backfiring on
yes,
him
it
now,
does.
Which is really funny.
Yes, it does. And the latest development, so after the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals basically said to Trump, what are you thinking? No, that's not how this works. The special master today comes back to them and says, so now you're saying, Mr. Trump, that the FBI planted documents at Mar-a-Lago? Do you have proof of this? Because, and I'm paraphrasing here, either put up or shut up. He's calling them out on their shit. He's not letting them get away with any of this.
Actually, you're right to say them.
Yes.
Because it's not just Trump that the special master is addressing, but the lawyers.
That's
and
right.
saying to the lawyers, your license to practice law is on the line. You tell us what your client is saying and thinking, and then he's putting them in a position where they won't be able to lie, because if they do, that's well in the future.
Yeah, right. And yes, the whole thing, it seems to be collapsing on him. So then you have that going on, and then Letitia James steps up to the microphone yesterday. Whoo! I would have loved to be a fly on the wall listening in not only on the phone calls between the four members of the Trump family who are now named in this lawsuit, but I heard somebody say today, I wish I could read the text messages between Barron and Tiffany.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You probably don't read Trump's craziness on that Truth Media, whatever that thing is he does.
No.
But he said today that the reason that she did this is because she's a racist.
Oh, that's what
he literally called Letitia James a racist, and he is a victim of racism.
Yeah. See, this is why I call it opposite world. Right? Because it's just the opposite of what is right. Take the complete mirror inverse of anything he says, and then you've got some semblance of the truth. It is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
And what's really horrifying and ridiculous is that a third of American voters completely agree with him.
Yeah.
Totally, utterly.
Well, I saw it. His approval rating is steady at 44%. Seriously, 44%? It's unfathomable to me. I just don't get it.
Right, which is why Rick DeSantis or Ron DeSantis or Ron DeSantis. Why he's feels he's fine. He doesn't have to worry about getting people like you and I angry. It doesn't matter. In fact, in some ways, it helps him when we rant and rave about him and give him, all this negative vibes, because these people who like Trump, these MAGA fools, that's a positive indicator for them.
Wow. It's incomprehensible. I mean, so anyway, that's all going on. God, there was something else I just wanted to ask you about. It totally slipped my mind, but let me ask you about this other thing, and I'm sure that other one will come back to me. So I sent you this. this afternoon, you know, I'm on, I get all the newsletters and the news organizations' emails, and Politico has their playbook, and they do the morning one and they do the afternoon one. And in the afternoon one, there was a very curious item that I just had to ask you about, because you are in the political world. You deal with candidates and campaigns and all that. So here's what it says. Spotted. Jeff Bartos, two-time statewide Republican candidate in Pennsylvania and co-chair of Mehmet Oz's Senate campaign, at a Wednesday fundraiser for Democratic gubernatorial nominee Josh Shapiro in Philadelphia. And then, so this is a Republican co-chair of Oz's campaign at Oz's opponent, at Josh, that's not Oz's opponent, sorry, at the Democratic, at the Democratic gubernatorial candidate's fundraiser. And then they write, you'll recall that our Holly Otterstein scooped in Playbook Wednesday that Bartos's wife was co-hosting the Shapiro fundraiser, though Bartos wouldn't say if he was supporting Shapiro or far-right Republican Doug Mastriano. So again, the co-chair of Oz's Senate campaign is at the fundraiser for the Democratic gubernatorial campaign. A person familiar with Bartos's thinking tells Holly that, quote, he was proud to support his wife and was there at her request to accompany her. So his wife is doing a fundraiser for the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, and he is a Republican statewide operative. He is a Republican to the bone. To me, that's oil and water. I just don't understand how couples function like this. Is this normal?
Well, no. And keep in mind that Bartos is not exactly, you know, some kind of mainstream Republican. He's very right wing as well.
Right.
But also remember that to be a co-chair of a campaign is not a job. It's just a title of the candidate. So it's not like he's doing anything for Oz. Nothing at all. I mean, he may be obligated to throw a fundraiser for him, but that would be it. It's not like you're a campaign manager. A campaign chairman has no function.
I got it. Okay. Well, still, obviously, he is a Republican through and through, and as you said, a kind of crazy right winger, and she's doing a fundraiser for Josh Shapiro. So, you know, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
Well, there are couples who you know, disagree on politics. So, you know, but the thing is I don't know why he didn't go in disguise or something.
Right, right. I can't imagine that Oz is whatever.
Remember,
just weirdness.
He wouldn't say which one of them he's going to vote
That's
for,
right.
Which obviously means he's going to vote for
Mastriano.
If he was going to vote for Mastriano, he would have said it.
Right. Oh, right. Well, Mastriano's fucking nuts.
Yes.
So there's that.
He is.
Okay, now.
Yeah, there are a lot of, like, really very, very low-grade MAGA candidates. I mean, this would have been a real Republican year. And there are so many candidates that are just unelectable, regardless of the way the cycle is, that they're going to lose. I mean, Maggie Hassan is the worst Democrat running for re-election.
She's a New Hampshire
the senator.
Right.
Yeah, New Hampshire.
Yep.
She's just terrible. I mean, that guy, I told you last week, she voted against raising the minimum wage. She's indefensible. And yet the Republicans managed to find someone who's so much worse than her, so much worse than her, that they can't win. Just a few, I heard about it a few minutes ago. I don't know when the news broke. I wrote about this guy, J.R. Majewski in Ohio. The Republican state legislature, Republican-led state legislature in Ohio, was so anxious to get rid of Marcy Kaptur that they made the most egregious gerrymander of any state this year.
Yep.
What they did is they took Marcy Kaptur's district, which had a Democratic lean of D plus 16. So that is as safe as you're going to get. That
right.
is D plus 16. Just think
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, that doesn't get any.
And they took that and they made it into R plus 14.
Oh, my God.
The Republican Party today pulled all their ads that they were planning to run for Majewski. They've given up on the campaign.
Really?
They say he can't. So why can't he win? because everything that he's done, including the stuff he's told them that they've then done, has been premised on the fact that he was an Afghan.
Oh, right.
Veteran.
He's the guy who stole the Stolen Valor guy. He claimed he was over there in combat, and he never was.
He never was, not even in combat. He was never there at all.
Never there at all.
In Afghanistan. He never set foot in Afghanistan.
Right.
And here he is talking like for years about how he fought in Afghanistan.
Oh, my God.
And people wondered, I wonder why he has no medals. Because you don't have to do anything to get medals. Just to be there and you get a medal. If you're there for a certain number of weeks, you get a medal.
Right.
He didn't have those medals.
So people
wondered.
There.
And it turned out he had a logistics job in Japan and then one in Qatar. And yes, Qatar is somewhat close, but it's considered one of the cushiest places
to be based.
And
they're an ally. He was not in in a war zone at the time. No. Right.
Well, they call it a war zone because of the distance. Just purely because of the distance.
Gotcha.
But like I said, it's considered to be, you know, completely safe and one of the cushiest jobs you can have.
Wow.
So, you know, the guy was a liar. And then the Republican Party has been promoting him as this, you know, fighting war vet. And then the news comes out that he was lying. Oh. That means he was lying to them, too. And they're so embarrassed that they pulled all their ads today.
Wow. And, you know, the thing is, that district that Marcy Kaptur is representing now was gerrymandered 10 years ago when they combined, or maybe it was more recently. I'm just thinking it went along.
10 years ago.
And they got rid of Dennis Kucinich. They combined her district with Dennis Kucinich's to get rid of one of them, and she survived and he was out.
Well, they very much... what they did is they very much made it into a district that she would win. They wanted... Because she's... somewhat conservative Democrat.
Right.
He's obviously not a conservative at all. And they wanted her to win. So her base is Toledo. His base was Cleveland.
Right.
So they cut out lots of the Cleveland parts of the district and left in all of Toledo. So 60% of the new district was hers. 40% was Dennis's.
Right.
And in the end, she won 60%.
She won.
Dennis won 40% approximately. And she won. Now, 10 years later, comes another opportunity for them to gerrymander.
Wow.
And they just gerrymandered it into something that would be impossible, literally impossible. There are no Democrats that represent D+14 districts. But she's going to win this thing because of the quality of the candidate, which is the point, that... that McConnell made a month ago.
Yes, he did.
Getting him beaten up all the time. In fact, now Rick Scott is going to run against him as Republican leader.
Oh, God.
based on that comment that Trump, force-fed the Republicans all of these candidates who were not good.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Lots of bad quality candidates.
Meanwhile, Rick Scott's the guy who's floating the idea of letting Medicare and Social Security sunset after 5 years. So good luck to him. You go, Rick. You go. Hey, Howie, I remembered the other question. It was a question from my husband, David, asked me to ask you this. If the Democrats do lose the House and so the January 6th committee obviously goes away, is that something? And if the Senate remains in Democratic control, can they move the investigation from the House and turn it over to the Senate and let them have at it to finish the work?
Well, first of all, they're going to finish their work before it closes down.
Right.
So they plan. But can the Senate do an investigation?
Yeah.
They certainly could.
Sure.
But they haven't.
No, they haven't.
You know, they could have all this time, but but maybe what Schumer said, well, the House is doing such a good job, we'll just leave it to them. And then maybe he'll pick it up after or not. I don't know. I tend to doubt it.
Yeah, I tend to doubt it, too. I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, today Schumer is, getting beaten up over this deal he made with Manchin really badly.
Is that going to die?
I think so, yeah. But ironically, it's the Republicans that are going to kill it.
Right. Yeah. But he wanted to attach it to the continuing resolution, which they have to pass. But they're saying that the CR won't pass if he does this and the government runs out of money in 8 days.
Right. But that's up to
Nancy
Schumer. Right. If the government runs out of money, it's because Schumer made it run out of money. In other words, he could put the bill up tomorrow attached to the CR. But instead, he's waiting to the last minute so that he could blackmail people and say, well, you're going to vote against the CR.
Oh, God.
But that's because of him.
Yep.
They're going to, and what they should do is say, no, we're going to vote against you, and we're going to dump you out of the leadership role as well because you don't deserve to be in it.
Right. Oh, my God. All right.
Until yesterday, there were only two Democrats that had said publicly that they were going to oppose it, and that was Bernie Sanders and Ed Markey, and a whole bunch of others just jumped in yesterday and today saying that they're against it as well.
Good. Well,
yeah.
Good. Wow. Politics. I always said, if we could only get the politics out of politics. But, yeah.
Right. Well, look at this. I mean, all this politics talk, our time is almost up and we haven't talked about music at all.
I know. Do you believe it? Okay. So let me bring up this question. Let me ask you this. Do you know Dar Williams?
Just from you.
Just from me. She has a book out. In fact, she's written a number of books, which I didn't realize. And she taught a college course. And I love the name of the course. It's something like songwriting in a capitalist democracy. She said because she had to differentiate between our form of democracy and like a democratic socialism for it's amazing. So I taped an interview with her on Tuesday that's going to air tomorrow. I just love her. So I'm excited she's coming on tomorrow.
Good,
we're about
good.
Music. And so here's your music question, because this is left over from a couple of weeks ago when we were talking music. And you asked, somebody wrote in too late and asked if you had any stories about Prince.
And Of course I do. But too long to talk. Too long. I'll just give a couple of little things.
Okay.
Although I'm going to save the big one.
Okay.
So I'm going to just give some small ones. One is that before he had an album out, Warner Brothers asked me to meet with him and to do a story on him for their internal publication. So I did. I got to know Prince before he was had anything released. So that was quite a long time ago, and before he was completely insane. And then another thing, which I've written about already as one of the pages that I put up, I'm writing a memoir,
yes,
and I'm putting up pages every now and then on my blog, and
yep,
one of them was about Prince when he came and played with the Bangles. He had written their big song.
Panic Monday, he wrote, yeah.
Right. And on this particular night, I got a call from someone telling me, get down to the Warfield tonight because Prince is going to make an unannounced appearance, and he's going to play with them. So I went down and heard him do that, and I found a tape of that performance and put it up on my blog as well.
Oh wow! I'm gonna have to go check. Is recently or is this a while ago? We're gonna have to go digging for it.
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But if you go to any of the memoir pages, there's mm-hmm. one up. There's a picture on the front page right now. There's a picture of me with a camel.
Yes, I saw
riding
it.
The camel.
And, a dromedary,
and at the
actually.
At the bottom of that, there were a bunch of tags.
Oh.
And one of the is Howie.
Okay.
And if you hit Howie, you get all the memoir pages.
Oh, cool. At downwithtyranny.com. So I know what I'm going to go do. And by the way, according to Howie Klein, it wasn't actually a camel. It was a dromedary because a camel has two humps and the dromedary only has one.
Right. But someone corrected that and they were right.
Oh.
So it was a dromedary. So that's correct. But a dromedary is a camel. And then, so in Asia, it's called a Bactrian. And in Africa, it's called a dromedary, but both of them are actually camels.
Camels. Okay. Yeah, it's one hump or two, I thought, you know.
Yes. And I've only been on the one humped ones.
And you did not like it?
I don't like the camel itself. They're like dirty, nasty beasts. And, it wasn't terrible, but, a Jeep is more comfortable.
I hear you. I hear you. But, hey, when in Rome, as they say.
You get on the camel when the camel is seated.
Right.
So the camel's sitting down and you climb up on the camel.
And then they
stand
up.
When the camel has to stand up, they have these, like, very thin, spindly legs. And it feels, the whole time they're getting up and they're screaming while they're getting up, they don't like it either. And it feels like the camel's going to topple over.
Uh-huh.
Now, as it turns out, the camel never does topple over, but it's very scary. And they're very, they're tall. They're big, tall beasts.
Yes. Experiences, life experiences. I can't wait to read the book. So, and I love that you're sharing pieces of it along the way. So, in addition to all the politics, you can get all the back music stories from Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com. All right. Next week. We'll talk again next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Howie.
Bye-bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
All right. With that, we're done. I love talking to Howie, and I love talking politics with Howie, but I love even more talking music, and it's nice to know you guys like that, too. It's so funny. Last week, you know, Howie retweeted. He said he's coming on. It's Thursday. And he retweeted, said, so I'm going on with Nicole. What should we talk about today? And I'll tell you, we got a number of people responding saying, tell us more music stories. All right. Well, tomorrow we're going to be all about the music here. So I'll tell you, we're already in overtime, right? I could end with the news, which I usually do. Which I will. But I also, you know, in order to get ready for tomorrow, I did cue up a song. All right. I'll tell you what. I'll leave you with the news because that's what we do. And then we'll see. We'll see who's still hanging out in the chat room. And if you want to hear this very special recording of Dar Williams in advance of tomorrow's interview, stick around. All right. Okay. With that, here's the news. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you tomorrow. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, if Wednesday felt like a tidal wave of news with one massive story coming after another, that's because it was. Right around 9 p.m. Eastern, when it felt like things had finally slowed down, came this bombshell. A 3-judge federal appeals court panel ruled that the DOJ can resume its review of classified documents seized during a search of the former guy's Mar-a-Lago residence. The judges, two of them appointed by Trump and one by former President Barack Obama, said it is, quote, self-evident the public has an interest in knowing whether Trump's storage of classified records damaged national security. The decision reversed a ruling by U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon that barred the DOJ from using those roughly 100 classified documents in its criminal investigation until an independent special master completed his or her own review of them. Well, in typical Trumpian fashion, the former guy went on the Fox Not News Channel Hannity show last night and lied. Well, it's not unusual, but again, making a ridiculous assertion.
If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be.
Just by thinking about it, huh? But wait, there was more. The day officially ended even later with a report that Ginny Thomas, yes, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, has agreed to be interviewed by the January 6th committee. Now, in a separate announcement, the committee officially set the date for the next public hearing, Wednesday, September 28th, beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern. So that's how it ended. The Wednesday news avalanche began early in the day when President Biden addressed the United Nations General Assembly. He accused Russian President Vladimir Putin of shamelessly violating the UN Charter by trying to, quote, erase the sovereign state from the map. Biden also said that Putin's thinly veiled threats to use nuclear weapons showed, quote, reckless disregard for the responsibilities of a non-proliferation regime. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky also addressed the UN, but he did it by video, and he called for the world's leaders to punish Russia and support Ukraine's war effort and vowed not to stop until Russia leaves the country. Now, just as President Biden was wrapping up his speech, the split TV screen turned its focus on Letitia James. That's the New York State Attorney General, who on Wednesday announced that she'd filed a lawsuit accusing the former guy, his 3 eldest adult children, and executives in the Trump Organization of massive fraud. The 222-page civil complaint asks the New York Supreme Court to bar Donald, Don Jr., Ivanka and Eric from serving as executives at any company in New York and to bar the Trump Organization from acquiring any commercial real estate or from receiving additional loans from any New York financial institutions for 5 years. The suit also seeks to recover more than $250 million in what the Attorney General's office describes as fraudulently received profits through these deceptive practices. Well, and in some ways, so are the rest of us. As expected, the Fed did it again.
Today, the FOMC raised its policy interest rate by 0.75 percentage point, and we anticipate that ongoing increases will be appropriate. We are moving our policy stance purposefully to a level that will be sufficiently restrictive to return inflation to 2%.
But we're not done. Wednesday's news kept coming. The House passed a major electoral reform bill that aims to prevent a subversion of election results in the certification process. The legislation was introduced by Representatives Liz Cheney and Zoe Lofgren, and it passed in the House in a bipartisan manner with all House Democrats and 9 Republicans. But an interesting factoid, none of those 9 Republicans will be on the ballot in November. Seriously. Anyway, the bill's future is uncertain as the Senate has its own competing bipartisan version of the Electoral Count Act reform. Reports are that they had no problem with the House bill other than Liz Cheney's name being on it. Let's turn back to Russia for a moment, where Vladimir Putin addressed the nation early yesterday morning. That's when he gave his partial mobilization announcement, saying he's going to call up about 300,000 that are in the military reserves. That spurred an exodus of sorts. It's now impossible to get a plane ticket out of Moscow to anywhere else in the civilized world. Since his announcement, more than 1,300 people have been detained across Russia in crackdowns on anti-war protests. Prosecutors in Moscow are warning people against participating in those protests and are threatening those who refuse the draft with up to 15 years in jail. And it's not only Russia. Let's talk about Iran. Now, Iran has restricted access to 2 of the last remaining social media networks in the country, Instagram and WhatsApp, amidst massive protests. Why? Last week, 22-year-old Masha Amini died in police custody after being arrested by morality police in Tehran for, quote, unsuitable attire. Her death has unleashed anger over issues including freedom in the Islamic Republic and an economy reeling from sanctions. So did you know that the price of gas here in the U.S. fell for 98 consecutive days? I'm guessing probably not because the media doesn't report on things like that. But you no doubt heard that the streak ended yesterday on day 99 when the price at the pump rose by a penny to an average of $3.68 a gallon. Priorities, people. Priorities. Meanwhile, the government will run out of money on September 30th without a continuing resolution. And yet there's no CR. That's because Senator Joe Manchin wants his energy permitting reform bill attached to a must-pass continuing resolution. That move is politically fraught. Progressives mostly oppose this, and Republicans, still angry at Manchin for outmaneuvering them on the reconciliation bill that snuck through, don't want to give him a win. So they're backing a competing bill. But there are some strange bedfellows on this one, with progressive climate hawk Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii supporting it and centrist Tim Kaine of Virginia stating unequivocally, quote, I will do everything I can to oppose it. He's against it because of a provision that facilitates the Mountain Valley Pipeline in West Virginia and his home state of Virginia. And as for the must-pass continuing resolution to fund the government, Chuck Schumer's considering filing cloture today on a motion to proceed to the House's stopgap funding bill. The tentative plan to start this process today could lead to a Senate vote by next Friday. Got that? And finally, welcome to autumn. Yes, fall arrives today as a number of hurricanes are swirling around in the Atlantic. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. Okay, now if you're still here, I've got a treat for you. To promote tomorrow, and we've got Francie celebrating a birthday in the chat room at YouTube, I'm going to play you a song. So Dar Williams coming on tomorrow. Back in Do I have the date here? What was the date? I don't know. February 9th, 1996. I was doing a morning show in Los Angeles. And we used to take the show on the road and do remote broadcasts from different Starbucks locations around LA. And LA's huge. I think we were in Woodland Hills on this day, if I remember correctly. Anyway, Dar Williams was on tour opening for Joan Baez. We had Dar booked to come, and somehow they convinced Joan to come too. One of these days, I'll play the whole thing for you. But here is Dar Williams with the first song that you know, got her on the radio. It's called When I Was a Boy. And the book that she wrote that we're going to talk about, it begins with her telling the story about how this song was written. It's a folk song. You really need to listen to the lyrics. Again, going back to 1996 for this one, Dar Williams, live on my morning show from KSCA FM 101.9 in Los Angeles. Here we go.
We are live at Starbucks on KSCA FM 101.9 with Dar Williams.
Thanks. Let me know if I'm in tune here, okay? Took my hand, I said I was a boy. I'm glad he didn't check. I learned to fly, I learned to fight. I lived a whole life in one night. We saved each other's lives out on the pirate deck. And I remember that night when I'm leaving a late night with some friends. And I hear somebody tell me it's not safe. Someone should help me. I need to find a nice man to walk me home. When I was a boy, I scared the pants off of my mom. Climbed what I could climb up. And I don't know how I survived. I guess I knew the tricks that all boys knew.
Fireflies out in the backyard. And so I tell the man I'm with
First album, The Honesty Room, also on Live from the Music Hall, Volume 1.
That song has an effect on people looking around the room. I see a lot of glistening eyes. And
oh, and there were. Sorry, I had to cut that off. One of these days, we'll hear the whole thing. Dar and Joan together led the crowd of as many people as we could pack into that Starbucks and the overflow outside in still a goosebump-inducing version of Amazing Grace. It's pretty amazing. Who knows? We'll do something after the interview tomorrow. Maybe I'll go back and play this whole thing. Anyway, so tomorrow, you look up the lyrics. Diane said she had a trouble hearing all the lyrics. The song is called When I Was a Boy, Dar Williams. Google the lyrics because it resonates. It's amazing. All right. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I hope you are too. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll see you then. Have a wonderful night. Bye.